It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, December 19th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. China's largest Bitcoin exchange called BTC China has been forced to stop taking the country's currency. The move follows a reported meeting this week between payment processing companies in the country and the People's Bank of China, and a decision by national financial agencies in the country earlier this month that effectively banned dealing in Bitcoin. The so-called cryptocurrency, which we've been looking at all week, seems either on the verge of collapse or going to the next level. So which is it? Eric Posner is a professor of law at the University of Chicago, has been studying Bitcoin. He says people should stop thinking of it as a currency.
It's more like a payment system that people can use to transfer dollars from one place to another. And the way you transfer your dollar is you buy a Bitcoin, ship it through the internet, and then the other person gets it and converts it into a dollar.
How might something like this become regulated?
One obvious way, which we've already seen, is that governments can regulate the exchanges. The exchanges are absolutely essential. If I'm a merchant who accepts bitcoins, I want to be able to immediately convert my bitcoins into dollars. But if an exchange exists, there's got to be servers, there's got to be employees, there's going to be even a building somewhere with people on it. And the government can go after those things.
Won't that mean that we'll attach all sorts of accoutrement that will actually undermine its basic use, which is frictionless transfer of money from one party to another?
It will weaken that particular feature of Bitcoin. But if you think of it as just a very useful mechanism for transferring value from one place to another, then regulation will not undermine that goal. It will actually improve that by making the use of bitcoins more secure, protecting people from some of the illegal or undesirable uses of bitcoin, for example, to finance criminal activity or to buy drugs.
So why are you not bullish on bitcoin as a form of currency?
Bitcoin would work as a currency only if the government could control its supply. So if there's a recession, for example, you need to increase the money supply. And if there's a boom, you need to reduce the rate at which money grows. If the government has no control over the supply of the money that people use because people use Bitcoin, it won't be able to use these instruments to help control the economy. I don't think the government would tolerate that. And I don't think the public would want the government to give up this important instrument. And so I think the government would find a way to ensure that bitcoins did not replace the dollar as our currency.
Eric Posner is a professor of law at the University of Chicago and has been looking at Bitcoin. Professor Posner, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We've got lots more on Bitcoin, from who's holding it to how you make it to who you can pay with it. It's all at our website, marketplacetech.org. You'll remember President Obama formed a panel recently to review the National Security Agency's data surveillance programs. Well, we now have a 300-page report. The big recommendations that the NSA should stop trying to undermine commercial efforts to build better encryption standards for securing data, also to stop taking advantage of computer program flaws and using them as cyber weapons. Another one, to build in a rigorous test that would be required if the spy agency wanted to tap into the phone of another world leader, German Chancellor Angela Merkel. That one's probably in your honor. Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount helps us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. This week, I went to the first official piece of artwork created in collaboration with Google Glass. The exhibit was at the Rubenstein Atrium at Lincoln Center here in New York. The piece of art created by artist David DeTuna was in the shape of a huge American flag overlaid with a mosaic of clear glasses lenses and filled with images, little cameras, and computer boards. You have to put on a pair of Google Glass to look at it, and Glass then interacts with the artwork as you experience it.
Okay, so I'm watching a video. Please look directly at the flag and hold still, it says. It's asking me what my favorite social media site is and why. Twitter, because it's short and sweet. I'm being asked a series of questions here. Oh, and now the questions have stopped. All right, now I've gone near the stars part of the flag, and I've seen Jimi Hendrix play Star Spangled Banner.
The piece is titled Viewpoint of Billions. It asks your permission and then records your answers in your image and then uploads that data to a YouTube channel. That's all with help from a little mobile app for Glass put together by app development company Brick Simple. The piece had been viewed by a few thousand people when I was there. I found Lee Simonson waiting in line to get his turn.
Have you worn Glass before?
This will be the first time. I mean, you know, I'm still figuring out my iPad. So I don't know about Google Glasses.
This piece of art asks to record you. Are you going to opt in or are you going to opt out?
I'll opt in. I have no problem. Okay. I got nothing to hide. I don't know why they'd want to, but they could take my picture all day long.
You can check out more information about this interactive artwork. It's on our website. And one last note today, the Washington Post now has its I Was Hacked badge. Hackers apparently gained access to employee user information and passwords for, quote, a few days at most. A few days? Details on who was behind the hacking are sketchy, but if we see a bunch of headlines on WashingtonPost.com about how awesome the Syrian Electronic Army is, I guess we'll know. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.